Back into another episode of the Dapped on Draft podcast. As promised, we're hitting another mock this week. So today we'll go over picks 1 through 16, and tomorrow we'll hit 17 through 32. This mock draft is, I want to call it a vibe check mock. It's kind of half predictive, half whatever we think we would do. I think like a vibe check mock is a good way to call it.
I like that.
Yeah, a vibe check mock. So a little bit of both. So this one might be a little off the walls, kind of went with my gut on some of these picks. I think Dalton did the same. So we'll dive into this. Dalton, before we get started, man, though, how are you? How was your day?
Dude, chaotic. I slept in until like almost 7 a.m. this morning because I wasn't going to the gym. I needed to fast because I had blood work at 8:45 in the morning. So didn't get to eat until then. So I didn't want to wake up at 5 and start working. So I didn't get much work done today, which stinks. I always feel completely and utterly worthless on days where like I don't go to the gym and I also am unable to get work done. But I did shovel my sister-in-law's driveway because her husband is out of town and it was snowing. So I did a good deed today. So there's at least that.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. My kids, unfortunately, are in a very strict 5:30 wake-up call right now, and it is disastrous. So I have been awake a long time on the opposite end. But let's dive into this. For this mock draft, Dalton took the odd number teams. I took even number teams, starting with the Titans. Dalton, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Yeah, everybody is mocking Cam Ward to the Tennessee Titans. Not everybody, but a lot of people are. And that's just the absolute last quarterback that I can see Brian Callahan surviving the season with his sanity. I mean, we just saw him
almost kill Will Levis.
Like, put Will Levis's head in the guillotine. Like, he hates that young man on the football field. And I understand it because he's a frustrating quarterback to watch. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine they're watching Cam Ward, even with all of the upside that Ward has athletically, physically. I can't imagine watching him if you were in that building and saying, yes, Brian Callahan will not have to be in the loony bin after next season if we draft this guy. Because he will. And so for me, this was very easy. It's Abdul Carter. Whenever you have a chance to take not a generational edge prospect, because – listen, if Abdul Carter was 270, maybe we would be talking generational, but then we still probably couldn't because Myles Garrett still exists. So he isn't the generational prospect in this class, and I know that they have brought that up. Travis Hunter might be the generational prospect in this class. Then you have to look at the value between a shutdown corner and an edge rusher, and the money between the two makes it very obvious which one the NFL covets more. And cares about more. And we saw, obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles win with some really good secondary play as well. But their defensive line and their offensive line are what make the Philadelphia Eagles special. And putting Abdul Carter around Jeffrey Simmons is disgusting.
I can't help but agree. I think the one wild card with the Titans, though, is that they have a GM that didn't hire their head coach.
Yeah.
So that GM could potentially say, deal with it, suck it up, we're taking Cam. If it doesn't work, I'm getting somebody else in here next year anyway. So, which is also awful for Cam. But, you know, moving on to my pick, number two, the Browns. Listen, I don't think there's a way the Browns trade Myles Garrett. Like, I go back and forth on this, but, like, you don't trade a defensive player of the year in his prime. I think the last time we saw a player demand a trade and get it met, a young player in their prime, was Jalen Ramsey from the Jaguars, but that was money motivated. Like, this is not money motivated. This is not a Browns unwillingness to pay him top of the market. So I can't think that they're going to trade Myles Garrett, but they need to get him to buy back in somehow. And I think the way you get him to buy back in is that you draft a young quarterback. And again, I've been pretty vocal that like playing within structure is a non-negotiable and throwing the football accurately is a non-negotiable for me. I will take A intangibles and A plus accuracy and B tools over the opposite any day. So Shedeur Sanders to the Browns with the second overall pick in my draft here.
Yeah, the Giants are an interesting one because I can't imagine in my brain Mason Graham and Dexter Lawrence playing beside one another. I think it would be the most disgusting interior that I've ever seen in my entire life. The Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen duo was pretty good. But we're talking about the best defensive player in the NFL potentially. And somebody with hands that we haven't seen since Jeffrey Simmons. So we're talking about like potentially two top 5 to 7-ish defensive tackles. Guys who can do both run, defend, and pass rush at a very high level. But Travis Hunter is still there. And Travis Hunter, in my opinion, is the most intelligent corner I've ever studied. And so for me, that the ball skills, which would make him one of the best wide receivers in this class, and the receiver with the best ball skills on the defensive side with his closing speed, it's really difficult to intercept double-digit passes in the NFL. We saw it happen with Trayvon Diggs. It hadn't happened before that in a very long time. I would be shocked if Travis Hunter, playing full-time defense, didn't get one or two 10-plus INT seasons in his career. That's just the mind and the ball skills that he has.
Yeah, and we know the Giants have spent a lot of time in Colorado and Boulder with that program and around that program, and they're starving for corner play, so I think that makes a lot of sense. Number four with the Patriots here. I need you guys to hang with me for a second because it is a bit of a curveball here. But everybody knows the two biggest needs for the Patriots are offensive tackle and wide receiver. Consensus board would say Tet McMillan would be the pick here because he'd be the highest rated player on the consensus board at this point. Tet McMillan is not the highest rated player on my board between those two positions. So why would I not go with the offensive tackle who I have as offensive tackle one? Graded higher than Tet. They still have a ton of money. They can go trade for Cooper Kupp. They can sign T. Higgins. They can do what they got to do. So I'm going to go ahead and throw a curveball here with the fourth overall pick and draft the Patriots' Joshua Simmons out of Ohio State. Give them an athletic offensive tackle with excellent flexibility and knee bend, plays with excellent leverage, has a strong punch, solidify that offensive line, protect Drake May. Use your assets elsewhere to upgrade that wide receiver room, and you also still have 6 rounds of the draft left to do that. So take Matthew Golden at the top of the second round if you want to. So I'm going to go with Joshua Simmons here to the Patriots.
Yeah, and for me, you're looking at Eric Armstead and Devon Hamilton as your interior for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Devon Hamilton, I think, is a very good player, at least the last time that I really – watched him play for Jacksonville. He was a very good player. Eric Armstead's a hybrid interior-exterior guy who is outside of the prime of his career. Mason Graham is a top five player for me at a premium position. I personally value a defensive tackle who can get after the quarterback just as much, if not more, than I do on the edge, because there is nothing that will bother a quarterback more than interior pressure. You can get away. You can step up. You can spin out. There's so much that you can do to get away from one singular edge pressure. But pressure in your face from one guy with two edge rushers who are rushing the arc, there's nowhere to go. And that's what Mason Graham can bring on top of being an excellent run defender. So this is easy for me.
Love it. Love it. All right, so with the sixth pick, then, we are going to move on to the Las Vegas Raiders here, and this is where I'm taking the second quarterback off the board. Ultimately, I think the Raiders are probably a player for a veteran quarterback, the same way the Titans are. But I think if a quarterback is on the board here, they can go ahead and snag one. There is one here, so I'm going to go with Cam Ward to the Raiders right here to give Pete Carroll in that new-look regime there. Their new quarterback of the future.
Yeah, and with the New York Jets, this one is pretty easy for me. They can no longer try to secure their quarterback of the future in this class, and so they are going to move on elsewhere. They need right tackle help, and they are going to get it. Olu Fashanu played really well for them towards the down the stretch at left tackle. Getting both of those tackle spots locked up. Morgan Moses is over the hill. Tyron Smith at left tackle over the hill. It is time to inject some youth into that offensive line. Obviously, I know that they have Elijah Vera Tucker and Joe Tippmann as well. So they have a little bit of youth, but AVT hasn't been able to remain healthy for most of his career so far, which is unfortunate because he's been really good when he has been playing. But you want a guy like Mbal to come in so you don't need to move AVT out to the outside in a pinch and then risk injury, because that's when we've seen him kind of get hurt when he's had to switch around to different positions.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All else fails at a premium position if you can't get a quarterback. So, eight to the Panthers. I feel like I mock this the same mock every single time we do a mock, but I'm going to do it again. Shamar Stewart to the Panthers here. The Jadeveon Clowney thing didn't work out, so why not draft a younger version of what people comp to Jadeveon Clowney? Again, I think Shamar Stewart is more flexible than Clowney is and was coming out of South Carolina. So I do think he can win with a little more bend. At the end of the day, you're getting a day one run defender and an elite one at that, who is still explosive, flexible, and has heavy hands to learn how to get after opposing quarterbacks. So Shamar Stewart here. Again, we're 2 weeks from the combine where he's going to put on an absolute show. So I think him in the top 10 of mocks is going to be a pretty frequent thing from here on out.
Yeah, there's a million different ways that we can go with the ninth pick here with the New Orleans Saints. But I'm going to go with Tanneroa McMillan. And although I personally have Luther Burden ranked higher, I think pairing with possibly Chris Olave, we still don't really know a ton about his situation and what he will be in the future. But Rashid Shaheed is their other significant target, and he is very much a speedster who is going to create explosive plays. You need somebody who is going to be able to work the short and intermediate area of the field, be a little bit more of a possession receiver, but with a 6'5 build and a ridiculous wingspan, McMillan can go and get the ball for you when you need it. And I think that would be really good, especially if they are going to have lackluster quarterback play, which Derek Carr probably not going to be around. They are rebuilding. They are going to be getting rid of most of their roster, man.
Hey, man, don't sleep on the Spencer Rattler experience for a full year with Kellen Moore.
I'm going to probably sleep on the on the Spencer Rattler. Because, as I said, I like Rattler coming out of South Carolina. But I didn't love him, and it was pretty bad as a rookie. So we will see what the future holds in New Orleans, but I'm going to get them a stalwart at wide receiver.
Love it. Next pick for the Bears, also really easy. We're just going to go straight up BPA here and address a massive need for the Bears. And that is either, I think they like Braxton Jones enough at left tackle, but they also need interior offensive linemen really badly. And guess what? I think Will Campbell is a guard. So I also think Will Campbell is potentially, I think he is the best offensive lineman in the class at guard or at tackle. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't have him graded as the best offensive lineman in the class at tackle. But you know what? If the Bears need him to play tackle and they want to move on from Braxton Jones, they want to keep Braxton Jones at left tackle and play him at left guard. I think you got a 12-plus year player at left guard right there in Will Campbell. So protect Caleb Williams. You have Romo Dunes. You have DJ Moore. You have some weapons around them. You have, you know, the second, third round to get a running back who isn't DeAndre Swift that can take a load off of Caleb Williams as well. Address the trenches here, man. Just take Will Campbell.
Yes. And with the 11th pick, the San Francisco 49ers do the same thing. They go with an offensive tackle. Now, this offensive tackle might play left guard to start his career because Trent Williams is the ageless wonder at left tackle for the San Francisco 49ers. Maybe they would swap him over to the right side and have him start at right tackle over Colton Kivitz. But I think there's a potential for And it might be an easier move to just slide one space inside and then not have to totally relearn your footwork on the opposite side of the football field if you are Kelvin Banks Jr., the offensive tackle from Texas, who I was very cool on for a while. And the more I watched him, the more confident and comfortable I became with him and his athleticism. I don't think that he is a fleet-footed bear out there, but I think he's able to do enough. And I think it's specifically for what the San Francisco 49ers like to do offensively, which is not a lot of straight drop-back passing. They do it, but they would rather run that offense through quick game, get the ball out in space, a little bit of West Coast flair, and run the dang football, which is something we know Banks can do very well.
Awesome. Awesome. On to 12. Dallas Cowboys here. I could have gone a variety of directions. I think there's a really good receiver on the board here I could have gone with. Obviously, the obvious running back that everybody loves to mock to the Dallas Cowboys is on the board here. I'm not going to do either of that. I'm going to get Dak Prescott his next seam target in Tyler Warren here, tight end out of Penn State. He lost Dalton Schultz to the Houston Texans, although Schultz might get cut, so he could kind of probably walk back too if he wants to. But Jake Ferguson took a pretty big step back this year for the Cowboys as well. So why not go out and get an athletic playmaker that can exploit the seam, that can do anything you want him to do after the catch as well. You can manufacture touches for him if you want to as well. So get the best tight end on the board here. The Cowboys go with Tyler Warren.
Yeah, and I think that somebody like Warren could also help their run game out quite a bit because you can literally put him at quarterback and it gives you a tush-push option, which, guys,
just get a quad god and yeah.
You need to be able to get a yard on fourth and one. And you don't want to put, and let's call a spade, an injury-prone Dak Prescott in that situation very often. So throw the 260-pound former quarterback in there to do the tush-push. At number 13, the Miami Dolphins. This one is tough for me because I look at what Miami has on their roster, in their secondary, and I really, really want to pair Javon Holland with Nick Emenwori. I just think it would be a phenomenal pairing.
Well, but Javon Holland's a free agent.
Yeah, they have to pay Javon Holland. They have to pay him. That secondary can't survive without him.
We'll see. There's a lot of people that think they're going to let him walk, but a lot of people in that area.
Maybe, but I mean, I don't know what they're doing.
I think that solidifies your pick here even more then. Yeah.
Well, it does. And I mean, and Malachi Starks from Georgia can do it all anyways. I would hate to, because Javon Holland is a free safety through and through. I think allowing Malachi Starks to be more of that versatile safety who can come up in the box, can play in the slot, can play outside even, move around the field is where he is best used. Although I do think he's an intelligent player who can play on the back end with the best of them as well. And he has some very good ball skills to boot. So I think going with Starks is a good decision no matter what, but I like the pairing with Javon Holland as well if they do decide to keep him.
Yeah. Starks is I feel like Starks is one of those players who we mock in the teens, but like I could see some team in the top 10 really loving him. Because he's been so solid for 3 years, ever since he stepped on the field as a true freshman, his very first game against Oregon with that acrobatic interception of Bo Nix. 14 to the Colts, another no-brainer here, man. If he's on the board, given the Colts have no corners on their roster at all who can play NFL football, and for some reason, I mean, we just did it here, I guess, too, but Will Johnson Jr. is sliding down boards. Honestly, I think we just need to go back. You need to look at the 2023 tape with Will Johnson, when he wasn't trying to play hurt or he wasn't checked out because Michigan was really bad. And you can see a good tackler. You can see an explosive trigger. You can see elite long speed in a 6'2 frame. So I think we're overthinking Will Johnson a little bit here, but if he's on the board at 14, the Colts are taking Will Johnson, man.
Number 15, the Atlanta Falcons. You can pretty much go premium position on defense for the Atlanta Falcons. I know a lot of people are going to slot a corner in this into this spot, and I totally understand that. But Grady Jarrett is 31. David Onyemata is 32. Matthew Judon is 32. Caden Ellis, who you are counting on defensively, is 29 years old. Ono Nebikite, he's 26. He's a younger guy, but he hasn't really rounded into what you wanted him to be on the edge. Caden Ellis was their leading guy as a pass rusher last year. He had 43 pressures. You need a pass rush in Atlanta. Need one. And James Pierce Jr., for me, is that guy. And I know they've gone with his archetype before, and it hasn't worked out. But James Pierce has the bend. He has the explosiveness. He has the pass rush plan. He might need time to develop as a run defender a little bit. The not playing a huge role or a huge snap count at Tennessee is a little bit worrisome, a little bit annoying overall. But I do think the talent is there to be a true difference maker as a pass rusher at the NFL level.
Love it. Awesome. Yeah, pass rusher and Falcons, man. Yeah, it's like quarterbacks, like the Browns and quarterbacks. It's tough. Last pick here of the first half of this mock draft tonight. So with the Cardinals, I always say I think that Emeka Egbuka and Marvin Harrison complement each other really well. They did at Ohio State. Their route trees would mesh really well in an offense as a one and a two. But I say that every time because Luther Burden III is usually off the board by the time that we're picking, and he's not in this case. I think Luther Burden would be a fantastic fit in that Arizona offense to help with some manufactured touches, take some pressure off the run game, stretch that field a little lateral as well. But also, I've been very vehemently and I have advocated that I think he's still wide receiver one, and I think that he can win as a Z and he can win outside the numbers consistently because he does play through contact, because he does have elite body control. I do see a throttle to where I think that he can run any route, even though he wasn't asked to at Missouri. There's a lot of stuff that he wasn't asked to do at Missouri that I see that he has the requisite skill set for in the way that he plays the game. So I think you can get a really like, and we're talking about the Cardinals getting wide receiver one, in my opinion, here at the 16th overall pick to pair with Marvin Harrison Jr. in that offense that has Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch as the other receivers in that offense. So going to go ahead here and add Luther Burden III to the Arizona Cardinals.
Love it. Let's get the people out of here. Let's get them fired up for the next, half of this mock draft. There are some interesting fits and interesting names coming up here.
I'm going to say there's some like bangers. Those first five picks coming up tomorrow, though, are bangers, though.
They're really good. They're really good.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about those ones. So make sure that you guys are tuning into that.
I love it. All right. Well, until next time. It's been another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. Tune in tomorrow for picks 17 through 32.